Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show. Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back?
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, one conference in particular maybe isn't matching expectations in college football. I saw a new list by CBS Sports of the top coaches in college football. And something stood out to me, and it involved one conference in particular. Also, Clemson may already have their next star quarterback before the next star quarterback. And this one's not even on campus yet. We'll get to that coming up later on. Also, a new sports movie come out. We got a wrestling wrap-up to do. Got a lot to do over the next couple of hours. I want to remind you that next week is the final week of our 2021 Summer Golf Tour. Week 10 goes on sale Monday at 8 a.m. You can get yourself a foursome for the Plantation Course at Edisto next Monday for only $98.9. Starts at 8 a.m. next Monday, July 12th. After that, sorry, you're out of luck. Final week of our 2021 Summer Golf Tour. And these foursomes, of course, sell out very quickly, within 20 minutes. So next Monday, get up early, get on there, get yourself a foursome. CharlestonSportsRadio.com is where you can purchase them. They sell out very quick. And for all the information in the meantime, leading up until Monday, head on over to CharlestonSportsRadio.com. The Plantation Course at Edisto next Monday, week 10, final week of our 2021 Summer Golf Tour. It's been another huge hit. Hopefully you've been able to take advantage, hit the links, have some fun out there, and you have one more week to try to do so. Next Monday, Plantation Course at Edisto, online at charlestonsportsradio.com. You know, it is a throwback Thursday, and we oftentimes throw it back and reminisce here on the Morrow Midday Show. There's a new trend going on TikTok, which is a social media app, and you post videos and such. And there's a new trend of mothers with their daughters, or, you know, you can even do it with your son. You sit down with your kid and you ask them if they know what certain things are from years past. And it's to see, you know, generational knowledge, or to see how much kids nowadays know about past items that we grew up with. I'll even include myself, we, because I knew all but one of these things. And it's a list of items, and you run through them. And as you watch the videos, right, most of the kids obviously don't know most of the items. And then it's humorous. It's funny. You get a kick out of it. You're watching these videos, and you think, oh, my God, this girl, this teenage girl has no idea. Right, of all these things that we grew up with, that their mother is talking about. It's just not the same. And so I have the list here in front of me on a Throwback Thursday. You know, Joe, I was going to ask, Joe, of course, would know all these items, because Joe lived through the era in which we used all these things. But we have our intern, Joe, is here as well. Nothing like putting somebody on the spot, right? A little intern hazing. So let's have producer Joe step up, or even, yeah, he could come in here on the mic, and let's see how much, how well he knows these items.
He would be Intern Joe.
Yeah, Intern Joe. What did I say?
You said Producer Joe.
Oh, I said Producer
Joe. That's my job.
Yeah, that's you. Sorry. I can't confuse the two. We got Producer Joe over there. Intern Joe's joining me in studio now. We're putting him to the test. Yeah, see if those headphones work. Live radio. This was not planned, and so we're going to figure this out as we go. Sure, I could have planned this out before, but then what's the fun in that? I like being spontaneous. Poor kid. He's on his hands and knees trying to figure out the headphone situation over there. Now, no luck? You got it now? All right, perfect. So let's get into this with some items from years past, and let's see how well, not Producer Joe, because he lived through all this stuff, but Intern Joe knows, and those are two separate people. We're not having Joe play multiple characters here. We have two separate Joes in the building, and we'll see how well Intern Joe knows some of the materials from years gone by. Oh, yeah. All right. Now, you would be a millennial. I mean, I'm a millennial as well, but you're obviously, you're still in college, right? Davidson College, is that what it is?
Gen Z.
Yeah? Okay, excellent. All right. Item number one, you tell me if you know what this is. Don't be embarrassed if you don't. You can go on TikTok, you can watch the videos. Most people don't know, most kids of a certain age don't know these items. A Rolodex. Do you know what a Rolodex is?
Is that a watch?
Oh, good guess. That's good. That'd be a Rolex. Good guess. No, the Rolodex. Joe, you know what a Rolodex is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you have a Rolodex back in the day?
Actually, I did when I was working in print media.
Yeah?
Yeah, Rolodex with some of my contacts information.
Yes, before smartphones, you used to have a Rolodex. You keep it on your desk, and it had all the contact information, and you roll through it, and you'd see, oh, I got to call Joe. Oh, here's his number or his address, or you know, especially in sales, you'd keep different information. Oh, he's got three kids. They're in high school, whatever it is that you can mention on the sales call. The old Rolodex. In my family, we had like an address book, a black book that we always kept above the phone, and it had all the addresses and all the phone numbers of people that we used to have to call. And my mother would always go crazy looking for this thing because my brothers and I would misplace it. We'd have to call a buddy. Then where's the black book? She had to call somebody or she had to send a letter. And over the years, that address book got so filled, she had to cross out addresses, update addresses, add new people. We're writing it in the corner of all the pages, trying to fill it in this book. That's what you had to do back in the day before you had an iPhone. We used to have to memorize phone numbers. Do you have any phone numbers memorized? Friends, family?
I got 911.
That's a good one. That's important.
And my mom's.
So. Okay, well, that's good. That's all you need. You got to know one phone number other than 911. In case of emergencies, you're in a pickle, you got to be able to call one person. If my iPhone ever died, I know my parents' numbers, but I don't know many other. I know a couple of friends from back in the day, back before I had a cell phone.
And before 911 and 411 and all these other, you know, whatever 11 numbers, you just hit zero for the operator. They were trained in all that stuff.
Yeah, see, that's pretty good. I remember having this conversation with my parents not too long ago about when 911 came into effect. And my parents aren't even that old. I don't want to date them. But I was shocked that, 911 isn't as old as I thought it was. There was a time when my parents were growing up. There was no 911 going way back. As Joe just said, right? You hit zero, talk to the operator. All right. Intern show. Option number two. Or the second item on the list. Rotary phone. Do you know what a rotary phone is?
I do.
All right. Very good. Can you explain it to prove you know what it is?
Okay. So it's an old-time phone where you have to just spin to the number you want to dial.
You got it. Have you ever used a rotary phone?
I have once.
Yeah, all right. Joe, did you have a producer, Joe? Did you have a rotary phone back in the day?
Yes, that's what we had in our house. The one phone we had in our house.
That's right.
And even the comedian James Gregory pointed out back then, no one wanted to answer the phone. They didn't want to be bothered with it. And now you just can't get away from these things.
No, that's true. My grandparents had a rotary phone. They were fun to play with. I don't think I ever made a phone call, but as a little kid, you just go over and you just spin the dial and play with it. Oh, you hated people with nine in their numbers. If somebody had a bunch of nines and you had to go all the way over, and that was always the worst. Okay. Item number three on the list as we test intern Joe's knowledge of things gone by. A Walkman. Do you know what a Walkman is?
That is a portable music player, right?
Very good. Back before, you know, your iPhone, or your iPods, I should say, and MP3 players, you had your Sony Walkmans. I used to love the Walkman. I was never a biker, like a bicycle. I never wanted to bike. I would always walk to my friends' houses instead.
That would be a cyclist.
Okay, a cyclist. I was never a cyclist. I had a bike. I hated riding, for whatever reason, I never liked riding a bike. So I would just walk, and I would always have to have my Walkman. So you'd make your mixed CDs, or you had to make sure you find, that's why we talk about the perfect album on this show. You have to find a CD that could get you through a walk. There's enough good songs on there that you're going to listen to for a while. All right. Item number four. So far, so good. What about the Yellow Pages? Are you familiar with the Yellow Pages?
That is where you can find businesses, phone numbers, and all that.
Very good. Yes, you nailed it. 3 out of 4. Okay, this one. Item number five. A phone jack. Do you know what a phone jack is?
No, I do not.
Guess what? They're still around.
Yeah, they're still around.
You can still find them in walls everywhere.
Really? It's just simply what you plug the phone into.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I guess. At least for the purposes of this exercise. A phone jack. So just like the Ethernet cable. In fact, when Internet became a real thing, Ethernet, that was always a problem. You didn't know which one was like which. And they're different. You can't fit one into the other. But when you'd see them on the wall, you'd think, like, is that for the phone? Is that for the Internet? And yeah, where I live, I still have a phone jack. People just don't have house phones anymore. Joe, do you have a house phone?
No, I don't.
Yeah. I've never had a house phone. What about intern Joe? Do you have a house phone?
I had one back in Dallas.
Yeah? Yep. Not currently, though?
Not currently.
Yeah. You don't need one. All this was for telemarketers. Okay, this one, I have to admit, I got this one wrong. I thought it was something different. So, intern Joe, if you get this wrong, I don't blame you. Do you know what a trapper keeper is?
No, I'm going to something that's fishing-related, but I doubt that's
okay,
it.
Okay, fishing. Joe, producer Joe, do you remember what a trapper keeper is?
Yes, I had those in school.
Yes, very good. Do you remember what was on it? Did you have, like, a special one?
No, not really. They were just kind of the plain whatever color, you know, with the white border on the edge of it.
Now, I actually got this wrong. I thought the trapper keeper was... I had the same thought process, but I was wrong. I thought it was what you would put in your three-ring binder that you would keep all, like, your pens and stuff in. But it was actually a bigger thing, right, that you would put, like, notebooks in? That's what a trapper keeper was?
Right. You could put spiral notebooks if they had the three holes for the three-ring binder in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you could do that, but it also served as a three-ring binder. It could, you know, hold the folders that had the three rings in it and things like that, and you can keep a few other things in it.
Yeah, see, I got that wrong. I thought it was something different, school-related, another thing that you would keep all your items in, the trapper keeper. They were kind of ugly anyways. Now, now you use a backpack, you have fewer notebooks, you throw them all in there. Okay, this one I didn't know either, so even I got two of these wrong. Do you know what a cripper is?
No.
Or what it may be used for. Any idea?
Nope.
Producer Joe, a cripper.
A cripper or a crimper?
Oh, probably crimper. I'm probably saying it wrong. Crimper.
Yeah, for the hair?
Yeah, there you go. Crimper. All right, intern Joe, I said it wrong for you, sorry. A crimper. See, I didn't even know what it was. Even a crimper, I had no idea what that was. For hair?
Yeah, it kind of makes like small, wavy, type... thing with your hair instead of making it like curly or anything like that.
And that was a big thing back in the day. People used to, you know, perm their hair. Joe, you ever make your hair curly?
Never made it curly, but I did have one of my friend's mom try out the crimper on my mullet.
Oh, you used the crimper on the mullet. On the mullet.
Yeah, mine was long enough they could try it out. And now, yeah, his little sister was, you know, a little too uneasy about it at first, so I was the guinea pig.
How did it work out? Did you like it?
Actually, didn't look too bad.
How
didn't,
long?
It didn't last very long on me because brushed it out and everything. But yeah, I guess they didn't keep it on long enough. But actually, it didn't look too bad.
How long was the mullet? Was it down to the shoulders?
Yes, it was.
Wow, beyond the shoulders?
Not beyond the shoulders. Okay. No, it was kind of like Patrick Swayze's in Roadhouse.
Oh, okay. Ooh, some ladies are getting excited driving around right now. Okay, we got a couple more items here in the list. Testing intern Joe's knowledge of past things. What about a hacky sack? Do you know what a hacky sack is?
Yeah, it's pretty much used on every college campus these days.
Still used?
Yeah.
All right. Joe, did you ever play with a hacky sack back in the day?
Yes, I did.
I was always terrible. I'm not coordinated enough for that stuff. So I knew people that would. In fact, it was always like the kind of like the hippie types that used the hacky sack.
That and soccer players.
Yes. I can never do it. You go to the beach, you see people juggling the soccer ball or, you know, kicking around the hacky sack with their feet. And I was friends with plenty of soccer kids. They could all do that stuff. I would just embarrass myself. I never played with a hacky sack. All right, two more. Boombox. Do you know what a boombox is?
Yeah, it's just a giant radio player thing.
That's right. You know? Used to walk around the streets carrying it on your shoulder. And the last one, do you know what Atari is?
That is the first gaming station, isn't it?
Very good. Joe, did you ever have an Atari?
Yes, I had an Atari 2600 system.
Ooh, that must have been a big deal back in the day. Very good. All right, intern Joe. You did good. You nailed, let's see, we got 3, 6, 9 items. I think you got 7 out of 9, maybe 6 out of 9. Very impressive. Yes, that's right. Studio audience loves it. All right. Bit of an old soul. All right, appreciate it, intern Joe. Had to put him on the spot once again. That's the intern hazing around here. It's a throwback Thursday. I saw these videos going viral online, and people were getting a kick out of how little their kids knew about the things they grew up with. But to be fair, I think that would be accurate for every generation. Like, I know a lot of, I think I know a lot of old school stuff, but I do think if my parents quizzed me on some items, I also wouldn't know a lot of the things that they grew up with. I think that's just natural to see the progression that we've gone through over the years. And I've always said that it would be my grandparents, their generation, right? The generation from almost 100 years ago that has seen the most change in their lives, like over the last 100 years. Think about the changes they have gone through, where when they grew up, forget even just like the Great Depression, but when they grew up, like, you know, there was no TV, radio just started in the 1920s, cars weren't what they were now, and now all this, you have a computer in your pocket, you have TV, you have computers, you have the internet, travel is so much easier, you can fly anywhere, anytime, over the past 100 years. If you're of a certain age, if you're of a similar age like me, like your grandparents, I think have seen the most change during their lifetime of any generation. To go back then when not many people had cars, right? Obviously, no cell phones. I mean, people, probably not even all families had phones. No TV. Radio was just starting out then. And to fast forward to where we are now, it's got to be crazy to see all the changes over 100 years.
And a little over 100 years ago, the most common form of transportation in Berkeley and Dorchester counties was still horseback.
How about that? Well, like the 1910s?
Yes. That era.
That's what I'm saying. If you were born like 100 years ago and you're fortunate enough to live to 100 today, over those 100 years, you have seen more changes than anyone. I don't know if we're even going, by the time I, you know, 100 years after my birth, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what the future brings. We'll have flying cars and you'll be able to travel to space and who knows. But we went from very little 100 years ago to just about everything now, to have these cell phones. And by the way, my grandmother, right, she uses her iPad. And she uses her cell phone. That's how she listens to the Morrow Midday Show. She doesn't listen live. She listens to the podcast. But she's using that iPad. And think back to when she was growing up. Right? It didn't even have a TV in the family. Now she's listening to her grandson on the other side of the country on an iPad and responding to emails on the computer. A lot of changes.
Kind of reminds me of with my grandparents. You were talking about the landlines earlier.
Yeah.
This was, of course, you know, both of them have since passed away. But about 20 years ago... of course, using the cell phones, I guess it was for so long they had been used to, you know, calling long distance.
Uh-huh.
And they kept telling me, even though I was, had already explained to them, I'm calling on a cell phone, I get free long distance. They would always tell me at the end of the call, oh, next time call collect. we don't want to run up your bill. And I keep having to explain to them, no, I just pay a flat fee each month, you know, and long distance is free.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. I remember when that was the thing. You had to be careful with who you called. Now, there was certainly tougher things, right? That wasn't the most difficult list of 9 items, but you would be surprised. Go online, watch some of these videos. Now, the people in the videos are a little bit younger than intern Joe. They're, they're still in their teens. They're like high school students, maybe even early high school, and they don't know any of the items. But I also think if I was quizzed, there would be certainly a handful of items from my parents' youth that if they tried hard enough, they could find plenty of things that I wouldn't be familiar with. It's the changes we go through over the generations and decades and years here on a Throwback Thursday. All right, anyways, I saw that online. I thought, oh, perfect. Then I saw intern Joe stroll in here. Poor guy. Had to put him on the spot to see how well he would do.
And you thought,
yes, exactly. That's right. Welcome to ESPN Radio. But he did very well. I was impressed. All right, coming up, CBS Sports came out with a list of the top coaches in college football. And there was one thing that stood out to me. Not so much the ranking, the ordering, but what it actually showed about one conference in particular and how that conference maybe is very underwhelming. I'll get to my big takeaway from CBS Sports, their list of the top college football coaches this year, and we'll do it when we come back. It's the Mar Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, a ranking of the top coaches in college football this year and what it says about one conference in particular. It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up in a little bit, also get to already the next Clemson quarterback star before even the next, right? The next, I guess. Before the next one even has an opportunity. Get to that coming up. But CBS Sports is running through, in preparation for the upcoming college football season, their top coach rankings. And they're going conference by conference, and they're piecing it all together to give you the top overall list for college football. And so I was looking at, they just came out with their Big Ten ranking for coaches. And I don't really care so much. You know, Ryan Day is number one. No argument there. Jim Harbaugh is only number seven. He's got to do some more winning at Michigan. I don't care so much about the Big Ten ranking. But what I found interesting was when I looked at the overall list of the Power 5 coach rankings put together by CBSSports.com. And I was looking at the top 25. And when you look at the top 25, it's the usual suspects at the top of the list. Saban is number one. Dabo's number two. Lincoln Riley is three. Ryan Day, four. Brian Kelly of Notre Dame is five. Then you get Jimbo Fisher at six. Kirby Smart, seven. Pat Fitzgerald as high as number eight on the list. Matt Campbell at Iowa State, already number nine on their list. Dan Mullen's 10. So on and so forth. Ed Ogeron, 11th. Yada, yada, yada. The Lobster Bisque. But what I find interesting about this top 25 list is that the Big Ten has eight of the top 25 coaches in college football. Now, this is just according to CBSSports.com. And we all have our own opinions, and if I put together a top 25 ranking, it would look different than theirs. So that's why I don't get too bogged down in the ordering of it all. I wouldn't have Pat Fitzgerald that high. I don't think I'd have Matt Campbell that high just yet. I agree, really, probably with the top three. I think Brian Kelly is one of the best coaches in the country. I get why Jimbo is up there. But we don't need to run through this thing and tell you where I disagree pick by pick. Instead, what I found most interesting, what stood out to me, was a big picture thought in that eight of the top 25 coaches are from the Big Ten. The Big Ten has more coaches. They have more coaches in the top 25 list than any other conference. The SEC, for example, has just five of the top 25 coaches. Right? Even the Pac-12's got a few. The Big 12 has a handful. But nobody has eight like the Big Ten. Eight of the top 25. I mean, that's a third of the top 25 all comes from that same conference. Highlighted by Ryan Day, head coach of Ohio State, ranked number four. Pat Fitzgerald, head coach of Northwestern, is ranked eighth. Then you have James Franklin of Penn State is number 13. You have Kirk Ferentz of Iowa at number 17. Paul Christ of Wisconsin is number 18. Tom Allen of Indiana, after the great year they had a year ago, is number 20. By the way, he was 46th a year ago, according to CBS Sports. And then Jim Harbaugh slots in at number 23, and P.J. Fleck of Minnesota is 25th. And I think Minnesota is primed for a good year. So I think P.J. Fleck will be looking a little bit better a few months from now. But eight coaches in the top 25 for the Big Ten. Again, just one source's opinion, but I do think that if you ordered the top coaches in college football, the Big Ten would stack up maybe the best. And while that could be impressive for the Big Ten, it also is a bit of an indictment. But how come they're not winning more? Right? How come Ohio State's the only team making it to the playoffs? How come the Big Ten only has one playoff victory since 2015? Right? How come they're not winning championships? Outside of Ohio State, it's been a while since the Big Ten has won a national championship in football. You have to go back to when Michigan shared it with a team 24 years ago.
Nebraska.
Nebraska, thank you. Otherwise, prior to that, the last one, you go back to the 60s, excluding Ohio State. You have Michigan sharing their national championship, and you have Ohio State winning a few national championships. That's it for the Big Ten since the 60s. Now, I've done this on the show before, that when the Pac-12, I think it was at the time when they announced their new commissioner, and everyone was being hard on the Pac-12, and I thought that it also showed the Big 12 and their lack of overall success in terms of trying to win championships. And winning championships is certainly difficult. And we know the SEC is the best conference in football. You have the SEC, you have Clemson, and I guess you throw Ohio State in there as well, same idea as Clemson, and then you have everyone else. You know, like you look at the Big 12, they haven't accomplished enough in terms of competing at the national level, in terms of trying to win a national championship. The Pac-12 obviously has become irrelevant in recent years. The ACC, outside of Clemson, has nobody that could compete for a national title since Florida State almost a decade ago. And the SEC, you have your Auburn sprout up for a year. You have LSU have a big year. But really, it's been Alabama and controlled by Nick Saban. But at least the SEC will get multiple teams in the playoff. They have a bunch of national championships, mostly by Alabama, but they've had a few teams win over the years in recent history. And my point being that we could probably make this case for every conference except the SEC that they're not doing enough. Right? That outside of Clemson, the ACC hasn't been good enough. That the Big 12 overall hasn't been good enough. The Pac-12 has been embarrassingly poor. And the Big 10 outside of Ohio State has not been good enough. But if you're going to tell me that 8 of the top 25 coaches in the Big 10, right, or I should say 8 of the top 25 coaches are from the Big 10, the best coaches, then I should expect more out of the Big 10 outside of just Ohio State. Because they have more of the top coaches than any other conference in football. And we know that in football, coaching is the most important. Right? You want to tell me about basketball, or at least in the NBA, about, oh, there's more top coaches in the East. How come they don't win more championships? Well, because coaching isn't the most important thing in the NBA. But when it comes to college football, not only the X's and O's, the play calling on a Saturday, but of course the recruiting and bringing in the talent. So I don't know if it's a lack of talent in the North. Right? I don't know if it's the style of play. The Big Ten is still trying to catch up to everybody else. I don't know if the coaches are maybe just overrated. Right? But to have 8 of the top 25 coaches and outside of Ohio State, not really have much to write home about. Penn State has been disappointing, especially last year. Michigan has never reached expectations. Wisconsin, at this point, right, have high expectations. They have success, but they can't go. They can't take you that next step. Kirk Ferentz has been at Iowa for 20 years. He hasn't elevated that program to the next step. Not at this point, right? They've been treading water. They've plateaued in recent years. And the Big Ten has scored the fewest amount of points since 2015 of any Power 5 conference. It was the lowest scoring conference back in 2019. Last year, right, we had a pandemic. Not every team played. Games got canceled. Teams played different amount of games. Not all the stars played. But if you go back to the last normal year, the Big Ten was the lowest scoring Power 5 conference, scoring a touchdown less than the next Power 5 conference. And prior to that, you go back to, say, 2015, it's been a number of years. The Big Ten has been the lowest scoring conference for about 6 years. And when you look at some of these coaches, right, Pat Fitzgerald is a defensive guy. You have Harbaugh is an offensive guy. He's supposed to be a quarterback guru, but when you go back and look at his success, it was oftentimes led by defense. Right? But Kirk Ferentz is a defensive guy. P.J. Fleck is more of a CEO type. Tom Allen is a defensive guy. All right, a lot of good defensive coaches in the conference. Offense has been lacking. We know nowadays offense needs to win. But as I look at this list, I just found it interesting that the Big Ten had 8 of the top 25 coaches in college football, at least according to CBS Sports. You'd probably expect that out of the SEC. But the Big Ten had more coaches than even the SEC on this list. And we know the SEC has had more success, not just from Alabama, but from the other teams as well. Right, Penn State, we thought last year, Penn State, they could be the new LSU. LSU came out of nowhere, seemingly, won a national championship, and a team other than Alabama got it done in the SEC. Texas A&M, they bring in Jimbo Fisher. They finished 5th in the country last year. We had those expectations for a Penn State last year. Or Michigan since Harbaugh arrived. Or Wisconsin, even, under Paul Chryst. Or P.J. Fleck getting to Minnesota thinking he'd really elevate that program. And yet, when it comes to the playoff, when it comes to championship contender teams on a national scale, the Big Ten only offers Ohio State. They seem to have the best coaches, certainly don't have the most success. So either the coaches are overrated, or they're not bringing enough talent, or the Big Ten just can't compete with the SEC. But a lot of good coaches in the Big Ten. You know, it's a lot like SEC basketball. SEC basketball said, we really want to ramp things up. So they took a lot of the money from the SEC network and from the football, and they said, let's invest this into basketball, and let's get this conference up and running. Because we're the best football conference in the country, let's try to make our basketball conference really good. And so they invested and brought in a lot of good coaches. The SEC has a lot of good basketball coaches now. And it led to them having their most successful season, what was that, about 2 years ago? I guess we didn't have March Madness. Depends how you look at it, right? The last year, quote-unquote last year, would be this past basketball season that ended in March. The year before that, we didn't have a March Madness. So I guess it would be 3 years ago. The SEC had a great season. And in part because they brought in a lot of good coaches who knew what they were doing. and they close that gap with other conferences. The Big Ten has brought in a lot of good coaches. But when it comes to competing for a national championship, getting playoff teams, they're still not holding up their end of the bargain in comparison to, say, the SEC. Eight of the top 25 coaches in college football reside in the Big Ten. And yet the Big Ten has underwhelmed. You could say that about just about everyone except for Clemson, Ohio State maybe, and the SEC. But the Big Ten's another conference that I kind of need more out of. Harbaugh at Michigan, right? Turn them into a playoff team. James Franklin at Penn State. We're hearing about how they could be the next Clemson, how they have the resources and they have the talent pool to pick from around them. And they have the passion and the fan base, and people are invested in that program. And Penn State, they even have the history. They've been successful in the past. They had a terrible season last year. I mean, they started, what, 0-5? So let's see James Franklin elevate that program to where they're supposed to be. Many people were very excited about P.J. Fleck going to Minnesota. They bottomed out last year. They're bringing back a lot of experience this year. So either these coaches are overrated or there's something missing along the way that these programs are not reaching or matching expectations, not having the success that they should. Speaking of which, when we come back, Clemson, we're waiting on the next star at the quarterback position. We'll see him this fall. But before DJ even takes over as the starting quarterback, it looks like Clemson may already have the next star after that at the quarterback position. And we'll get to that when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Clemson thinks they have the next star at the quarterback position. He'll replace Trevor Lawrence this fall. But they have they already found the star to the next star, even after DJ? We'll get to that coming up here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. I want to tell you about Lyerly's Dry Cleaners, now at their to-go service. They can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, and casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. You can even track your dry cleaning, see exactly when it'll be ready or delivered. Just call or text 843-377-6994 to schedule a free pickup. And the best part is, mention that you heard about Lyerly's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston. And you can get 20% off your next order. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners. Now they're to-go service, easier than ever before. So, over the past week, right, through the July 4th holiday, they had the Elite 11 camp where they brought out the best quarterbacks in the country. And a lot of times we can get ahead of ourselves and we're talking about recruiting and this kid and that kid and, you know, Arch Manning, who is still only like 16 years old and still 2 years away, but you get very excited about the potential and what the future may hold. Clemson is looking to replace Trevor Lawrence. They believe they have the next star on campus ready to go in DJ, who we saw last year fill in for Lawrence during the whole COVID situation. He'll be the starting quarterback in a few weeks for Clemson when they begin the 2021 season. But it looks like the Tigers may have the next star on the roster and then the following star already committed to the program, because Cade Klubnik was named the MVP at this Elite 11 camp over the past week. His accuracy sparkled. This is according to The Athletic, their breakdown. His accuracy sparkled each day. He showed he could throw very well on the move, and he seemed dialed in throughout the event, which separated him from most of the other top guys who flashed at times but weren't as consistently sharp. That's what The Athletic wrote. Prior to that, they wrote the most impressive quarterback was from Texas, but it wasn't Quint Ewers, the player who has the rare perfect ranking from 24/7 Sports. He was excellent overall, but the guy who outshined him was Cade Klubnik. a Clemson commit from the powerhouse Austin Westlake. 6'2", 185 pounds, and he's ranked as the number six quarterback according to 24/7 Sports. But as The Athletic noted, he's probably headed for a better ranking soon. Because while he was the number six quarterback in the class, he just went to the Elite 11 camp with all the best quarterbacks in the country and impressed everyone, to the point that he was the MVP and apparently was the MVP each day, that the coaches chose him as the most impressive quarterback each day of the camp. Not only did he outshine the other stars overall, but each day he was the best guy out there. And each day they watched him and saw, like, oh, yeah, this kid, he's the best one. Now, Ohio State and Clemson have kind of been linked at the hip here for a couple of years when it comes to quarterbacks. Right? You had Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, who grew up not far from one another, and one went to Ohio State, or eventually wound up at Ohio State, and the other, of course, went to Clemson. And then they battled one another in their careers, but they also were back at the Elite 11 camp. And then, more recently, you had C.J. Stroud, who will probably be the starting quarterback for Ohio State this year, filling in for Justin Fields, who's gone on to the NFL. And you have DJ filling in for Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, who's also gone off to the NFL. And those were two from the same class that were also involved with the Elite 11 camp. However, DJ did not go to – he opted out of the 2019 Elite 11 competition in favor of focusing on a winning on trying to win the national title at the St. John Bosco. And so Stroud actually replaced him. And Stroud became the MVP that week, and that's what led to him going to Ohio State. So it's very interesting that these two schools have, for one reason or another, kind of been linked together in their recruiting of quarterbacks. And now currently you have Ewers, who's going to Ohio State. He'll be the next guy, and he's considered to be this great quarterback, a prodigy, top quarterback. And Klubnik is more of a late bloomer. And as they both went to the Elite 11 camp, it was Klubnik who outshined him and has more people talking about him coming out of this camp after he won the MVP, as opposed to the Ohio State commit. They also battled one another in the state title in Texas, and Klubnik's team won as he threw only two incompletions in the victory. So what does all this mean? We'll find out when he actually gets on campus. But it does seem, while DJ is set to take over here this fall, Clemson may have the next star already part of their program, or soon to be part of their program. I mean, they have the next star. It's hard to classify, right? DJ would be that next star. He is part of the program. And then after that, it's like, oh, how are we going to replace this guy? Oh, here comes Cade Klubnik, who's only a four-star. Many will tell you, after the week he just had, he should be a five-star. How is he only a four-star? How is he only ranked sixth? He should actually be maybe top two in this class. In fact, over at Rivals.com, one of their recruiting experts said that he is a top two quarterback in this class, that he is, therefore, quote-unquote, underrated. But that Cade Klubnik, who's ranked number six, is actually more like one or two, and he's on his way to Clemson eventually. Now, I've said this before, that in programs, college programs, a lot of times you need that first player that really gets the ball rolling downhill, really gets the snowball start to build. You know, like Florida basketball, when Billy Donovan got there, right? Billy Donovan really turned around Florida basketball, and the first person he did it with was Mike Miller, who came from one of the Dakotas. I think it was South Dakota. And he was like the Gatorade Player of the Year. And it was the first time Florida landed like the Gatorade Player of the Year. And it was Mike Miller coming from South Dakota, maybe North, one of the Dakotas, and he went down to Florida. And that was the start of the Billy Donovan tenure and helped him turn around that program. And then other guys, right, Mike Miller then went to the NBA, first-round pick. He was the Rookie of the Year at the Orlando Magic. This was about 20 years ago. But then other players see that and think, oh, now Florida is an option, especially kids that grew up in Florida. Right? I could go to Florida and turn myself into a first-round pick. We can go have success there and have a great NBA career. The other comparison I always use is with Oklahoma, where really it was Josh Heupel, now the coach of Tennessee, who transferred to Oklahoma about 20 years ago at the beginning of the Bob Stoops era. And he was in the running for Heisman, and then it's like, oh, you know what, Oklahoma, you could go be a great quarterback there. And Heupel went into the NFL. You could go be a good quarterback there and make it to the NFL. And then it's led to, what have they had, four Heisman quarterbacks in the last 20 years? Obviously what Lincoln Riley is doing now, but even prior to that, Jason White, Sam Bradford. You watch that and you think, wow, that is a place. I'm a quarterback. I want to go to the NFL. I want to have success. Well, Oklahoma has suddenly become an option. Look at what they're doing with their quarterbacks. And Clemson now has become the same way, where it started with Taj Boyd, who was a good college player, you know, a little bit of dipped his toes in the NFL water, didn't quite stick. Then you get Deshaun Watson. That's quite the elevation, and we've seen what Deshaun has done at the NFL level.
I would actually go back to Charlie Whitehurst.
Sure, Charlie Whitehurst. He went to the NFL. He was a
his career backup
for 15 years.
Hey, that's the job to have. You're an NFL quarterback, and
that is the job.
You don't get banged around as much as the starter.
The best job to have is probably the third string quarterback. You don't want to be the backup because then you may have to actually go in the game. But if you could be that third stringer and not worry, hey, I don't have to go in the game today, and you know, I'm an NFL quarterback getting paid a lot. But Charlie Whitehurst, yeah, he was in the NFL. He's one of those classic guys like a Billy Volek, so many over the years, that spent had long careers in the league and only played like 10 games. Right, they were in the league more years than games played. That was Charlie Whitehurst. Clipboard Jesus. He was, yeah, maybe he started it. And then you get to Boyd, and then you get to a few years later after Charlie Whitehurst, eventually Deshaun Watson, who was the guy that, you know, he really pops. And now Trevor Lawrence, and it leads to DJ, and then Klubnik, and then maybe Arch Manning. And it's just one after another that you see at Clemson. Right, that's the place to be. That's the quarterback you. Like Lincoln Riley. Right, you see one guy win the Heisman and be drafted in the first round, and if you're a quarterback, you think, I got to go be part of that. Then the next guy wins the Heisman, and then the next guy, you know, has a good year, and he gets drafted. And that's how you build that reputation. Just like same idea for a company. You know, a lot of your salesmen, whatever the position may be, a lot of your employees are getting bigger jobs elsewhere. You know, they're getting hired. They're getting plucked away by other companies to come be like a CEO, to come run a company. And if you're looking for a job, you're thinking, yeah, I got to go there. Coaches do it all the time. If you're a basketball coach, you want to go be with the Spurs because the assistants of the Spurs get more opportunities. In the NFL, Bill Belichick's assistants get more opportunities than anybody. So it's like that stepping stone. Yeah, I want to go coach in New England because eventually it'll help turn me into a head coach. I'll get an opportunity somewhere. And it's become that way with Clemson now. That I mean, they're just getting the best every year, getting the best quarterbacks in the country. And this Cade Klubnik, I can't say that name. I want to put the L in the first name. Cade Klubnik. Ranked number 6 in his class, only a 4-star, but after the past week he just had, right, the hype is being elevated. People are saying, wait a minute, hold on, maybe we're a little off on this kid. Maybe he's a little bit of a late bloomer. Maybe he is one of the best quarterbacks in this class, and he's heading to Clemson to be the next guy after the next guy. And now you're talking about DJ to Klubnik to maybe Arch Manning after Trevor Lawrence, following Deshaun Watson. What a run it could be. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. Speaking of quarterbacks, they just released a trailer yesterday. They're coming out with a new movie about a Hall of Fame quarterback. I watched the trailer. I have to be honest, it looks awful. And we'll get to that when we come back. It's the Mora Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
How you doing out there? You ever seen one of those days where it just seems like everybody's getting on your case, from your teacher all the way down to your best girlfriend? Well, you know, I used to have them just about all the time, but I found a way to get out of it. Let me tell you about it.
Wrapping up hour two here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. On Tuesday on the show, we were talking about sports movies coming out. Space Jam, the new Space Jam, is coming out a week from tomorrow. And at some point, we're getting this Adam Sandler sports movie, I think for Netflix, that Sandler and LeBron James are the two producers on, about Adam Sandler playing the role of a NBA scout. We'll see how that one is. And yesterday, we got our first look, our first announcement at a movie coming out in December about a Hall of Fame quarterback. They released photos, they released behind-the-scenes footage, and they released a trailer as well of a movie called American Underdog. And it'll be about Kurt Warner, and it'll hit theaters in December. And I watched the trailer yesterday, and honestly, it looked terrible. This is not a movie I would ever go see in theaters. I would only see it if it was on TV. I'd check it out a little bit. But it got such a bad reaction. People thought it was a Saturday Night Live skit. They thought it was a parody. It was kind of shot. If you watch the trailer, it looks like that. Like when Saturday Night Live does those parodies, I'm not a producer. I don't operate a camera. I can't tell you what it is, but you can, you know, it's that like specific look where it just it, you could tell it looks like a parody. It doesn't look quite like a movie the way it's shot. It's not quite as sharp. That's what this. But also the biggest issue I think was that the guy playing Kurt Warner can't throw a football. It looks terrible. And so they showed in the trailer, of course, some scenes from the football games, and it goes back to Kurt Warner, which is, by the way, Kurt Warner's career is a great story. Played in the Arena Football League. He was working at a grocery store, gets discovered, wins a Super Bowl for the Rams, has a Hall of Fame career, you know, sticks around for a number of years. Great career. He was a good quarterback. Sure, it's worthy of a movie, but not this movie. In fact, I don't know if it is worthy of a movie. It's probably best as a documentary. I don't know if we need a whole future film about it. But the movie's coming out, and it's the actor is Zachary Levi, who plays Kurt Warner. He was Chuck on that show, Chuck, on NBC, and also Shazam, which I thought was a remake of the Shaq movies. I never saw those movies. Shazam. He also plays Shazam. That's the guy who plays Kurt Warner. Problem is, he's already 40. In the trailer, he's looking a little pudgy. I don't know if it's like the pads he has on. He's looking a little hefty. Doesn't look like an NFL quarterback. He's moving in slow motion, and he can't throw the football. It looks like a shot put motion. And I've talked about this in the show before, but that takes me out. If I'm watching a sports film and the actors do not look like athletes, it takes me out. I can't watch it. I can't enjoy it. I said it the other day about a movie I watched the other night. If you use music that wasn't around when the movie was taking place, I'm out. Because the whole idea of the movie, you're not supposed to know they're acting. It's supposed to take you, transport you back to that moment, bring you in that moment. And when I'm watching a movie that takes place in 1994 and they're using music from, you know, 98, I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't accurate. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a movie. You don't want those reminders when you're watching a movie. You want to be able to get in that moment, believe it's real. And when I'm watching this guy shot put the football around, pretending to be Kurt Warner, I can't watch it. It looks terrible. More on that coming up. Plus, the NBA Finals Game 2 is tonight. Hour 3 next. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.